sound booth guy going. 134. And we will sing all three. 134. Let's stand for our final hymn. Fanny Crosby song, amen. She wrote a bunch of them.
Didn't we just do this one?
No, not tonight. All three, folks. Amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fountain of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, oh, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect salvation, moments at rest. I am my Savior, and happy and blessed. Waiting, looking upon, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my praising my Savior.
Amen. Please be seated, church. Glory to God that we're able to praise Him all day long and all night long. That's why I love going to work. You ever met anybody that loves going to work? Not too many people. I love going to work. Why? Because I get to spend my whole night with Jesus. Amen? Amen. I got my nose buried in that book, praying and seeking His face and getting sermons for you all.
Yeah,
praise the Lord. All right, grab your Bibles. We're going to be back in our study of the book of Jude. But before we do, Jerry Golden writes, "The Coming War." The coming war. Here in Israel, many are left scratching their heads, wondering why Hezbollah in Lebanon didn't join in the war protective edge with Hamas. One thing is certain, when they do attack Israel with over 100,000 rockets, you know, from Iran, most being very accurate and able to reach every city, Moshav and kibbutz in Israel, putting every Israeli within their range. It will be something Israel has not experienced in any of her previous wars. It's coming, folks. To be able to have the answer, one would have to understand many things, known and unknown to us. With the complicated connection between Islam, Russia, and then be able to come to grips with the mind of Obama. As believers in God's word, we know, at least in part, how and when things are going to happen. Then, we must add to that mix the New World Order, who feel themselves to be like gods, small g, able to decide when you should die. I don't pretend to have the answers to the above questions, but I do have an opinion, for what it's worth. In the natural and carnal world, things are seldom as they seem to be. More often than not, we are distracted by events, as terrible as they are. They are nevertheless smoke screens designed to disguise the main event, keeping in mind that the devil is the author of confusion and a deceiver who wants to steal your soul. As for the coming war here in Israel involving the enemies from the north, that's Hezbollah, Syria, Iran, Israel is prepared and well aware of its capabilities. It will be terrible, but Israel, with God's help, or possibly the other way around, will destroy them with or without that help. Israel will prevail and be here for the second regathering of the Jews from the four corners of the earth. That'll be a regathering in belief. 1948 was a regathering in unbelief. In Isaiah 11:11 says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea." All Jews worldwide will be regathered. Hamas has already started rebuilding their weapons factories and redigging their tunnels. Openly, in public speeches, the Hamas leaders are saying they will be ready to fight once again to destroy Israel. For this reason, most Israelis are very unhappy with Netanyahu for not finishing off Hamas. As I kept saying, you have to finish them. But instead, leaving them to fight another day. The Jerusalem, no thanks to the pressure from Washington for cutting short the attack on Hamas. Washington pressured, they sent Kerry over there to make him stop, okay, before the job was done. The Jerusalem Post took a poll in Judea and Samaria, the West Bank, and one-third of the young men said they support ISIS. In a recent poll in Gaza, over 80% of the kids under 10 said when they grew up, they wanted to be suicide bombers toward Israel. In the Palestinian textbooks, there is no mention of Israel, only Palestine. There are serious concerns for the Jews in Turkey, and many are making a move to Israel or to the U.S. We have notified the necessary departments in the Israeli government that we stand ready, when and if needed, to rescue Turkish Jews who want to come home to Israel. He's only got three boats. Diplomatically, as things stand right now between Turkey and Israel, it could not be done with the approval of the Israeli government. We know that the days are near for us to go into full swing in rescuing Jews who will be fleeing from Europe, and we are seriously low on finances, not to mention the need for a larger boat to reach further and carry more Jews. With all of this said, I can truthfully say I feel much safer here in Israel than I would feel in America. For those in the U.S. reading this, I will say again, get ready, be a prepper. There are so many ways disaster can come to the United States, and very quickly it will. Go to this link on my website, thegoldenreport.com, and then to books and resources where you will find many helps, or just click here. For those who know God and his love for Israel and the Jewish people, they know God will bless those who bless Israel. For these same believers know that they have become part of a Jewish root. This ministry is now reaching out, almost in desperation, to those called by God to this ministry to pray about giving a sacrificial gift. We need to hear from you now. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for our son Joel, and all the IDF soldiers. Pray for this ministry and your part in it. Shalom, Jerry Golden. Praise the Lord.
Now, is he part of that chapter group that's getting ready, storing food and everything?
I imagine. What do you mean storing food?
Well, they're called preppers, and they're storing food and guns and ammunition and ready.
That's a good question. I don't know. I have no idea. he's born again. He knows he's getting raptured out.
Yeah.
So.
But there is a.
He may be storing food for the Jews who'll be left behind. I don't know, sister. Good question. Let's open up our Bibles, beloved, to the book of Jude. Once again, We're in the book of Jude. Praise the Lord. And we're going to cover two more verses tonight, folks. Verses 10 and 11. Remain seated and we'll read. We'll pick it up here in Jude, verse 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kore. Father in heaven, how we thank you for two more verses tonight. And Lord, how we thank you for the exhortations that we find in the book of Jude. If there's ever a book in the Bible, Lord, that compels us to godly living, it's this book. Lord, your Holy Spirit, through Jude's pen, uses example after example after example of people who transgressed against your will and word and paid the ultimate price for it, Lord. And how we need to learn tonight, Lord, from your word, to live a godly life in sanctification. And Lord, how to be led by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, how to be overcomers. And I thank you that faith is the victory that overcometh the world. Lord, if we're not experiencing victory in our lives, we need more faith. And if we need more faith, we need more Bible. And we just thank you for that truth tonight. It's so simple, Lord. You've made it so simple to understand. And we just thank you for it, Lord. Bless us as we study tonight. And we ask your Holy Spirit to enlighten the eyes of our understanding, that we may glean some spiritual truth tonight to apply to our Christian lives, that we may be better servants for thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, beloved, as we come to verse 10 tonight, notice the first two words, but these. This points back to the certain men of verse 4. And that's women too, you know. False teachers and deceivers can be male or female. But it points back to verse 4, those ones that he started out. Every time Jude digresses to make a point, he immediately comes back to his subject, the false brethren, the deceivers, who had crept in verse 4. Look at verse 8. You'll see it throughout the book. I'll give you six examples quick. Verse 8, likewise also, what's the next word? These. See, he had digressed to Sodom and Gomorrah. Now he comes back to his subject. Likewise these. He's comparing them to those of the Old Testament. Look at verse 12. Calls them filthy dreamers in verse 8. Verse 12, these are spots in your charities, feast of charity, when they feast with you. Look at verse 12. Verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these. Verse 16, and these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words. Look at verse 19. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. They're not saved. They're in an unregenerate state, and that's why they do what they do. Now, he says, these, you got to be careful because they'll try to infect you. They'll try to infect your Christian life and bring you down. Now, look at verse 12. I'm sorry, verse 10. But these, there it is, but these. His whole book is warning against these false brethren. Now, once again, he will digress here tonight in order to reveal their true character, which is one of ungodliness and evil doing. Let's notice here first that these deceivers speak evil about Christianity. Look at verse 10. But these speak what?
Evil.
Of those things which they know not. Now, what they're talking evil about is true Christianity, spirit-filled living, a holy, godly life. They speak, they mock you and they speak evil about you because they don't believe it. Because verse 10 says, they know not these things. That's why they act that way. That's why they have that attitude toward you, child of God, because they know not the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm studying a book by Stephen Charnock, 16th century Puritan preacher, entitled The Knowledge of God. Oh, man, I can't put it down. The Knowledge of God. Somebody, guy will be out there beeping, hey, can you open the gate, Oliver? Let me in. We're going to be late here. Oh, yeah. Put the book down, you know. But in his book, he talks about the knowledge of God. And he said it all starts with this. This is eternal life. that they may know thee, Father, John 17:3, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So if you don't know God the Father and Jesus Christ by eternal life, then you can't know the things of God. And this is the problem with these folks in verse 10. They're speaking evil about that way, the Christian way, because they don't know it themselves. You see that? Now, beloved, the unregenerate falsely imagine that godliness and spirit-filled living is a foolish way to live. They think it's ridiculous. They think it's nonsense to live that way. They think it's crazy that you carry the Bible. They think it's foolish that you go to church 3 times a week. They think it's stupid that you pray every day. They think it's dumb that you study the Bible all the time. They can't figure it out. They think it's ridiculous. But observe the reason why they think this way. Verse 10. These speak evil of those things which they know not, because they don't know. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hold your place in Jude. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Powerful passage here. Going to show you why the world acts the way they do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 6. Paul says, howbeit we, saved people, speak wisdom. That's God's wisdom, not the wisdom of the world. That's godly wisdom. Amongst them that are perfect, who are they? They're not sinlessly. They're spiritually mature. That word means spiritually mature. They're saved and they're living for God. Yet not the wisdom of this world. See, there's another wisdom. Nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Why is it a mystery? Something you know, but they don't know. It's a mystery to them. They can't figure it out. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world, what? Knew. They don't know it. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. See that? They don't know God, so they did the devil's bidding. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. But now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit, capital S, which is of God. Why? That we might, what? Know the things that are freely given to us of God. This they don't know. They don't know these things, but you do. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. They're nonsense unto him. Neither can he know them. We keep seeing that word. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. He's saying if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't understand the things of God. And if you don't understand the things of God, you're going to mock them. Many people do. Many people do. These deceivers speak evil about Christianity. 2 Peter chapter 2. Just a couple pages back from Jude. 2 Peter 2. Look at verse 12. But these, there's that word again. These speak what? As natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. They speak evil about things that they don't know. They don't understand. And they don't understand because they're not saved. They don't have the Holy Spirit. This God, let me give you an illustration before we move on. This God at work. He's a womanizer, and oh my goodness, he drinks, and he's got all kinds of problems. Well, this guy said to me, you know, I was trying to, he knows that I don't want to hear, you know, he's always telling the guys his sexcapades, you know, his trophies and all this, right? All this garbage. And so, he knows I don't want to hear it, right? Mm-hmm. So, I won't say his name, because, you know, we're on the website. I says, man, let me ask you a question. You were in the military for 20 years. Yeah. I was in the military. I says, you never went to chapel service? You never talked to the chaplain? You never heard about being born again? He says, born again? He started laughing. I says, why are you laughing? He says, don't you know it's in the Bible? The born again Christians made that up. You don't have to be born again. It's in the Bible. And I said, okay, let me get this straight. You folks, this is, they're speaking evil. Thank you. They're speaking evil about the things they understand not. He's telling me that in my Bible it says the born again Christians made up the fact that you have to be born again. No. So I said, okay, can you show me that anywhere in the Bible? Because I want to show them that Jesus said you must be born again, you know? Yeah. So this is what he's saying here in verse 10. They speak evil about the things that they don't know. Now, secondly tonight, notice their actual condition. Look with me again in verse 10. Notice their actual condition. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know, what's the next word?
Naturally.
By nature. As brute beasts. Those are animals. In those things they corrupt themselves. Now, here, Jude is revealing their true condition. They're in a natural state, not regenerate. Okay? There are only three types of people in the world. Three types of conditions for people. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Can anybody name them? Three types of persons on planet Earth. Only three. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. All people fall into one of these three categories.
Is it saved, lost, and
unaccountable? No, but that's good. That's similar to what it is. Very similar. The biblical terminology is a little different, but you got the right idea system. Chapter. What's that, Miriam? Yes. And what's the third? She got two out of three. That's good. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto what?
Spiritual.
Okay? A spiritual man is described in chapter 2. You see that? In chapter 2, verse 14, verse 15, he that is spiritual, what is that? That's a regenerate person who is spirit-filled. He's living the Christian life, the spirit-filled life. But as unto, verse 1 again, but as unto carnal, who are those guys? Carnal. Are they saved or lost?
Lost.
No.
No, flesh.
They're saved, but they're what?
In the flesh.
In the flesh. They're a Christian, but they're a carnal Christian. They're not walking in the Spirit. It doesn't mean they're not saved. That's important. A lot of times we'll look at somebody and say, that person can't be saved. Oh, yeah, they can. Oh, yeah, they can. You know you're capable of any sin the world is capable of? Because you still have this. Yeah. Val.
So, Pastor, those are the ones who have transgressed or... Is that what that means?
It means a Christian who is living in sin. That's a carnal Christian. That's the second type of person. What's the third type of person?
So is transgression is under that though, isn't it?
Yeah, transgression, iniquity, sin, they're all...
Right.
Yeah. What's the third type? You got spiritual, carnal, and what? Begins with an N. Natural. Thank you, Ellie. Verse 14 of chapter 2. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Why? He doesn't have what? The Holy Spirit. That's right, Steve. He doesn't have the Holy Spirit of God, so spiritual things are nonsense to him. They're just fables. They're just fairy tales, like you made it up. He doesn't understand spiritual truth because he doesn't have the receptor of the Holy Spirit. So their true condition is that they're natural men, unregenerate. They're not carnal Christians. They're not saved. Okay? They want you to think they're saved, but they're not. Thirdly tonight, quickly, notice what they do in this condition. Verse 10. But these speak evil of the things which they know not, but what they know naturally in an unregenerate state, as brute beasts, those are animals, in those things they what?
Corrupt
themselves. Now, this word corrupt, it's Pathero. Pathero is the Greek word. It means to destroy or perish. You know what he's saying? He's saying they are destroying themselves. Look at that. Verse 10. In these things they pathero themselves. They're destroying themselves. Why? Because they're living like brute beasts. They're doing things in the natural state that you wouldn't do in a spirit-filled state. Now, he's saying that, go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Hold your place again in Jude. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And nobody's twisting their arm to make them do those things. They're choosing to corrupt themselves. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 6 at verse 3. I love this passage. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words. That's all we got in the Bible. Wholesome words. Amen, guys and gals. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing. There's that knowing nothing again. But doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of what?
Corrupt minds.
Corrupt minds. Now notice here in verse 5 that the corruption doesn't begin in the flesh, in the deeds that they're doing. The corruption begins up here in the mind. See? And then they carry it out in actual deeds. Look what he says. Men of corrupt minds and destitute. That means empty of the truth. They don't have, they're not saved, so they don't have the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness. How much can I get? You know? From such withdraw thyself. But, I love this, godliness with contentment is great gain. I love it. You're going to have $10 million. And it's not going to make you happy and content.
That's right.
The things of this world will never make you content inside. Only Jesus can do that. Godliness can do that. Amen. Walking in the Spirit can do that. Fourthly tonight, observe the apostles' denunciation upon them. Verse 11. Jude, verse 11. First three words.
Woe.
Woe. Woe unto them. Now, this word woe, Esther's going to like this, because the Greek word is oui. Oui, oui. She's always saying that. She doesn't know. That's a Greek word that means woe. Woe. And listen, woe is an interjection of grief or of denunciation. It's saying, watch out. Woe. Danger. That's what it's saying. Go to Revelation chapter 8. Hold your place again. Revelation chapter 8. You know the Bible's full of woes? When you see a woe, God is giving a warning. Proceed no further. Don't go that way. Revelation chapter 8, look at verse 13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe! To who?
The inhabitants
of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. He says, woe! To those earth dwellers who've rejected my son. Go to chapter 9. Look at verse 12. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more. More woes on the way. Verse chapter 11. Look at chapter 11, verse 14. 14. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. Chapter 12, verse 12. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Woe is not good. Fifthly, tonight, back in Jude, observe their way. Observe their way. Verse 11. And woe unto them, why? For they have gone in the way of Cain. The way of Cain. What's that mean? Listen carefully, beloved. The way of Cain is the way of hatred and murder. Go with me to Revelation. Go to 1 John. Flip back two pages. 1 John chapter 3. What's the way of Cain? Let's examine it. He says, they go in the way of Cain. Very bad. Chapter 3 of 1 John. Look at verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we, saved people, should love one another. Amen? Yeah. Love is of God, and we need to love one another. Not as Cain. Cain didn't love. Look at it. Who was of that wicked one. He's saying Cain was of the devil. Wow. What an epitaph that is. Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. He was a murderer. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. He hated him because Abel did that which was right. And he hated him for it. Just like the people he's describing in Jude verse 10. Speaking evil of the things which they know not. Now, this is the way of false professors. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is the hall of faith. Amen? Look what he says in Hebrews chapter number 11. Speaking of faith, look at verse 4. By faith, Abel. What did Abel have that Cain didn't have?
Faith.
That's right. Faith. Faith in God. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Yeah, he offered a blood sacrifice, which is the one that God required. You don't give God what you feel like.
You're right.
You give what he says, amen? By which he obtained witness that he was what?
Righteous.
Righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. He offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Cain offered his own good works. When he worked from the ground. And he was cursed for it. Now, go with me to Genesis chapter 4. Hold your place in Jude. We're coming back. Genesis chapter 4. Let's see it. What exactly transpired between Cain and his brother Abel. In Genesis 4, and Adam knew Eve, his wife. And she conceived and bare Cain. And said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Time out, church. Who told him to do that? It wasn't God. Who was he of? He was of that wicked one. See that? God wants, listen to me, the devil wants people to come to God and be religious and give the wrong offering, so that they'll be damned. That's what he did to Cain. Look at it. Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. There's only one offering that God the Father has respect to, the offering of the blood of his son. Anything else you try to come to God through, it's not going to work. You're not going to make it. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, and shalt thou not be accepted? He's given him a second chance. Oh my goodness, this will preach. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. God is warning this guy. If you continue in this path, it's not going to end well. Unto thee shall be his desire, thou shalt rule over him. If you do the right thing. Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. He murdered him. He just killed him. Wow. The Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? As if God didn't know. God will always call us to account for our sin before his carpet. He said, I know not, I'm not my brother's keeper. And he said, why hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground, and now thou art cursed. These are horrifying verses, folks. Yes. From the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. And Cain is cursed down here. You go through the chapter, verse 16, the saddest verse in the Bible. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod. He left God. The worst thing you want to do is leave the presence of God. It will never work out. It will end in misery and shame. Now, go drop down here. He has a son named Lamech. Now, Lamech becomes a murderer, just like his dad. Took after his father, See that? And Lamech said in verse 23 unto his wives Adullah and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hear, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. He became a killer just like his father. See that? Why? He went out from the presence of the Lord. And the Lord was giving him chance after chance. And we see here that these ones in Jude, back to Jude, they go in the way of Cain, who was of that wicked one. Frightening verse. Sixthly tonight, I'm almost done. Notice how they run. Back to Jude, verse 11. Notice how they run. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. Now listen to me, beloved. Balaam was in the ministry for the money. Okay, don't let anybody fool you about seeing Balaam in heaven. When I was pastoring a church that my son's pastor now up in Maine, we used to have all the Baptist preachers. Would every Friday morning at 7 a.m., we'd all meet for prayer. All the pastors, the local Baptist preachers. And one Friday morning, I got there, and the guys were all talking about Balaam. And one guy was saying, yeah, I want to ask Balaam in heaven what it was like to have see that donkey talk. And I said, well, brother, I don't think you'll get to do that. And he said, why not? I said, well, Balaam's not going to go be in heaven. He said, sure he was. He was a prophet. I said, he was a false prophet. He was a false prophet. So I opened the Bible and tried to show them what I'm about to show you. They laughed me to scorn. Wow. They said, brother, you're judging. You're judging. Yeah, everything is, oh, you're just judging. Yeah. How about truth? How about truth? Now, listen. Revelation chapter 2. Go with me to Revelation chapter 2. I want to show you Balaam real quick. Real quick. Revelation 2 verse 14. Jesus Christ, words in red, says, but I have a few things against thee. This is the church of Pergamos. Because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of who?
Balaam.
Doctrine is what you believe and teach. What was his doctrine? Who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols. That's idolatry. And to commit fornication. That was Balaam's doctrine. Fornicate and idolize. Okay? This guy was no man of God. Trust me. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. The Holy Spirit is clear about these things. 2 Peter chapter 2. Any minister who gets up and says, oh, it's okay for you to, step out and do this and do that and do the other thing. In the end, everything will be work out just fine. He is not a true man of God. Look at chapter 2 of 2 Peter. Look at verse 14. Verse 14. I'm sorry. 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse 15. Which these have forsaken the right way. See, they're not in the right way. They're in the wrong way. And are gone astray, following the way of who?
Balaam.
The way of Balaam, the son of Bosor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. This is no saved man he's describing, folks. He's wicked. He's of the devil. He tried to curse Israel. You ever heard of a preacher trying to curse Israel? I don't think so. Not a real one. Micah chapter 6. Quickly. In Micah, little minor prophet Micah, go with me to chapter number 6. Micah, chapter number 6. The Bible has quite a bit to say about this guy. Micah chapter 6. Look at verse 5. Oh, my people. That's Israel, the Jews, right? Watch what God is speaking. Oh, my people. Remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. He says, I want you to remember that guy Balaam and what he taught you to do, the evil that he brought upon the nation, and the divine judgment that came down. Nehemiah, flip back before Psalms to the book of Nehemiah, an awesome passage. in Nehemiah before Job, before Esther, and go to Nehemiah chapter number 13. Oh, the Bible says a lot about Balaam. None of it's good, folks. None of it. Look here. Nehemiah 13. On that day, they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever. Why? Because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired who?
Balaam.
There it is. Balaam was for hire. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
By the way, that mega church out there with the Osteens, they admitted it finally. They admitted it from the pulpit. They don't go to church for God, for Jesus Christ. They go for themselves. Did anybody see the clip?
No.
Oh, yeah. Google it. They said, we don't come here to worship the Lord. We come here for ourselves. We come here to feel good. That's what they said. Okay, that's another story. But speaking of Balaam, we have many Balaams today. Because, look what it says. They hired Balaam against them. Who hired Balaam? Look at it. The enemies of Israel from verse 1. The Ammonites and the Moabites. They hired Balaam against Israel and he went with them. I'm going to show you that in a minute. Howbeit our God turned the curse. He tried to curse him. See that? Man of God, into a blessing. Glory to God. If it wasn't for God, they'd have been cursed. Now, go with me to Joshua. Back to Joshua 24. The man of God, Joshua, and he was, is making an oration to the children of Israel, pleading with them to stay with the Lord. Amen? Now that they've entered the promised land. Look at it. Joshua 24. Look with me at verse number 9. Then Balak, he's rehearsing everything they went through. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. Guess what? Balaam went with them to curse them. Hello. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. See that? Joshua chapter 13. Balaam, bad character. Joshua chapter 13, verse 22. Balaam also the son of Beor, the soothsayer. Do I need to read anything more? He was a soothsayer. He dealt with demon spirits, folks. He cast spells. Look at it, verse 22. Balaam the son of Beor, the soothsayer, the diviner. Did the children of Israel slay with the sword among them that were slain by them? Did you see what that said? What happened to Balaam in the end? Anybody? Pay attention. It says he was slain. By who? By the children of Israel. He died with the enemies of Israel. The enemies of God. Why? Because he wasn't of God. He was with the enemy camp. And he was slain with the enemies. Numbers chapter 22. Quickly. In Numbers chapter 22 we have the passage itself. We will not read it all because it's lengthy. But I want you to see one thing here that will absolutely shock you. Numbers chapter 22. Look with me in Numbers 22. Verse 1. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab, on the side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. Yeah, they whooped them. Because they had angelic assistance, right? God gave them victory. And Moab was sore afraid of the people, because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time, evil heathen king. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Yeah, Israel. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. You know what I said to him? Da 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 da. Sayonara, buddy. Good luck with that. Look what Balaam does. For they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. Guy's a fortune teller. He's a psychic. See that? And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night. Come on in, boys. Make yourself at home. Let me put on a pot of coffee. And you can have this bunk. Oh, Balak, you can sleep right over here on the good spot, you know. Make them a nice meal, why don't you? Lodge here this night, and I'll bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me. No, you won't, you liar. He's a liar. Look at it. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? I love this. And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, behold, there's a people come out of Egypt which cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Let me ask you a question. Anything further need to be said? Anything further need to be said by God for him to understand the message? Nope. Nope. Clear, precise, in Hebrew, gave it on his own tongue. Understand? Simple, right? Wrong. He goes with them. He goes with them. Okay? Folks, this man was not of God. If you study your Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to show you characters like this, they're fakes. Now, finally tonight, back to Jude. We don't have time to go through the rest of that passage. It gets real good when the donkey starts talking. The donkey, why are you beating me, Balaam? Balaam answers him. The text says, oh, it gets humorous. Balaam answers him, because you won't go. Now he's talking to a donkey. Hello. Seventhly, and finally tonight, notice their gainsaying. Verse 11. Jude, verse 11. Woe unto them, for they went gone in the way of Cain, ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kori. That's Greek for Korah. Now, gainsaying, that's antilogia. Antilogia. Antilogic. It goes against logic to rebel against God, folks. It's not logical, as Spock would say. Right? Now listen, the Greek word for gainsaying, antilogia, means rebellion, opposition, contradiction. Okay? That's the way they go. Listen, beloved, he's saying that these pretenders of Christianity are actually in a state of contradiction and rebellion against God. Just like Korah and his ugly bunch. They live their lives in direct opposition to the word and will of God. Now, go with me to Numbers 26, and very quickly, I promise you, we'll be done. Numbers chapter 26. I want to show you what happened to Korah and his bunch. In Numbers chapter 26, when they rebelled against Moses, God's appointed leader, guess what? God said, you rebelled against me. Okay? Look at it. Numbers 26, verse 9. And the sons of Eliab, Nemuel, 26:9, and Dathan and Abiram. This is that Dathan and Abiram, which were famous in the congregation. Yeah, they were famous for something. Who strove against Moses and against Aaron in the company of Korah when they strove against the Lord. 10. And the earth opened her mouth. You know that's been happening around the world?
Yeah.
Lately? They call them sinkholes. Mm-hmm. The earth opens up and swallows things, folks. The Bible is so far ahead of the CNN news, it's not even funny. Look at it. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah. When that company died, what time the fire devoured 250 men and they became a sign. Said, don't go that way. Don't go in the way of Korah. See that? Go back to chapter 16. Chapter 16. This Korah. Look at it. Chapter 16, verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Esau, son of Kohath, son of Levi, Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly. Yeah, fire comes down from heaven and burns them up, by the way. In the congregation, men of renown, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, "You take too much upon you." Say, who you think you are? Seeing all the... Moses didn't want the job, folks. He didn't want the job. He said, "I can't talk, I can't speak, I'll stutter." God said, "It's you, you're going. Every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." They're misinterpreting what Moses was called to do. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And he spake unto Korah and all his company, saying, "Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his. And it's going to be a showdown." And look, drop down with me to verse number 12. "And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, 'We will not come up.'" Now they're saying, we're not coming to the powwow. They set it up and then they refused to come. You see that? Verse, go down with me to 16. "And Moses said unto Korah, 'Be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. Take every man his censer and put incense in his hand.'" And verse 19, "And Korah gathered all the congregation against them under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, 'Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment.'" God wanted to kill them all. You see that? He wanted to kill them all and start a new one like he did with Noah and his family, with Moses and Aaron and their families. "And they fell upon their faces and said, 'O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation?'" No, they won't. And drop down with me to verse 31. "And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them," Korah, Nathan, Abiram, and that bunch, "and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses," I've seen that on the news, "and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods, and all their cattle, and all their limos, they and all that appertained unto them, went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregations." They went to hell with their boots on. They went, dropped them into hell with their boots on, kicking and screaming, and the earth shut her mouth after they were down. Folks, it's a serious thing to rebel against God. Now, back to our text. We'll finish up. Look with me in verse 10. "But these speak evil of the things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them! For they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." In closing, beloved, listen. The entire book of Jude is encapsulated in the first three words of verse 11. Woe unto them. Listen, there will always be false professors amongst the faithful. And listen, as much as our hearts break for them and long for them to truly repent and get saved and serve God, yet we cannot twist anyone's arm. One thing we can do is to make sure that our own hearts are true and sincere and genuine in the sight of God, our wonderful Father. Because, church, there's no time left for games. There's no time for a half-hearted, double-minded lack of commitment to Jesus Christ. I urge you tonight, seek His face and serve Him like you've never served Him. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for these horrifying verses from the book of Jude. Lord, I believe the book of Jude is not for a novice, not for a new believer. It's deep stuff. And Lord, it speaks the terror of the Lord. It strikes fear of God into the heart of the reader. And Lord, I thank you that we're sheltered neath the blood. And I thank you, Lord, that if it were not for your grace and your Holy Spirit indwelling us, there go we. Just like Korah. Just like Balaam. Just like Cain. We'd be just like these evil ones if it wasn't for your grace, Lord. You have rescued us, Lord. And we're so thankful tonight for the truth and the power of Jesus Christ that is in the truth, the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to live by and walk by faith each and every day to the praise and glory of the Son of God, In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals quickly. We'll sing one and then get to our prayer meeting. Open up your hymnal to 67, one of our favorites, because it says it all. We'll stand for hymn 67. Sir Isaac, Elvina Hall, Jesus Paid It All. And we'll sing the first, third, and fourth. Glory to God.
I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is strong. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all."
On the third,
for nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white.
Listen,
in the blood of Calvary's Lamb.
Amen.
Jesus.
Church, I just need to mention on the third stanza, look what it says here. It says, "For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all."
Right.
What's the next word?
All.
All to him I owe. Amen? All to him I owe. Glory to God. Every head bowed and every head closed. Father, I just thank you for these words tonight. Lord, perhaps there's one here tonight that perhaps maybe want to rededicate their lives to thee. May have a special need that only you can meet. By an uplifted hand, you say, "Pray for me, Pastor." Not going to call you up. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand too. Anybody else, you have a need that only the Lord can meet. I see that hand. Praise the Lord. Father, I'm so thankful for these uplifted hands. They acknowledge that without you, not going to go nowhere. Not going to get it done. It's only by your grace. But it says, the song says, all to him I owe. And Lord, the meaning of these words is so deep, we need to let them sink in Jesus' name. Amen. On the fourth, beloved.
And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat.
Everybody now.
Jesus paid it all.
Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.